So that's our way of getting all as much energy out of them as we possibly can in the beginning. So if you're participating in helping adults and teens, you got to do all that too. So hopefully you're in shape. If not, by the end of VBS, maybe you will be in shape. So one of the things that we do for Vacation Bible Schools, there's always a theme. This one, you heard some of it in the song. And it has seven C's. Now, a couple of those are put together. Creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, consummation. And so that's kind of what the journey we're going to be going through at Vacation Bible School. So I need some volunteers to come up. I need a couple of students. Who wants to volunteer and come up here and hold a sign for me? Who can I get? Anna, are you coming up? Okay, Anna, I'm going to give you creation. Why don't you come up, Anna? Maybe your whole row wants to come up. There we go. There we go. Anna, I need you to hold this one. Come up here. And then you can turn around and face everybody and point creation there. And we're going to put you here. There's too many of you now. We're not doing counting. And we're going to do this one. Clara, if you want to hold that. Kind of like Anna is. Turn around so everybody can see you. And then we've got Christ. Okay, we're going to come here. And then we're going to do this one. Consummation. And you know what that means, right, Mary? Okay, no, it's all right. You girls can just stand up here and look beautiful like you do. So each day, if you, at the end of the service, if you're not going to be a part of VBS and you want to see what's going to be going on, walk into the fellowship hall before you go home, and you'll see, well, Chris Trimper made these. They got a nice little Velcro thing on the back. There's a little vehicle that Chris and Carol Ann and some friends created for VBS. And each day we're going to talk about one of these things. It's on the screen behind me. Creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. Now, we're not going to be doing confusion. I'm going to talk about that today, this morning, so you can get a little taste of what Vacation Bible School is going to be all about, because we only do it 4 days, Monday through Thursday, so we got to skip a day. You're going to get that here this morning. But each day they're going to focus on one of these things, and each day the kids are going to have a song that goes along with it. And one of the things in the song that you heard, I don't know if you caught it, they said, to where we are going, we're going to learn about where we're going. And we're going to learn about where we began, because you got to know both. You got to know where you began to understand where God's taken you. And so that's part of Vacation Bible School. These girls, Anna, how old are you? Five. You're five. Clara, how old are you?
Five.
Why can't I remember Cooper's name? Elena. I just knew Cooper. Cooper, how old are you?
Seven.
Mary?
Six.
Six. Sophia. And what's your name? Leah. Leah's 10. You're 10, and you're the same size as the five-year-olds. You must be a Rathman. So from that age, all across the ages, this is essential. Where did we come from, and where are we going? You know how important that is to know when you're five? So that when you're 15, 25, 35, you know where you're going, because it's pretty easy to get lost. And that's what the confusion part's going to be about today. All right, girls, thank you. I'll take these back. Thank you. Great job. You did an excellent job. What I want to point out this morning, a couple of things. As I said, we'll go through all of these with the kids this coming week. This morning, I want to just point out confusion. That's one of the topics. That's one of the things we're going to be discussing. The series is coming out of Answers in Genesis. Maybe you've heard of the organization. If you've been to the Ark, Mary, you've heard of the organization, Answers in Genesis. Awesome. If you've gone to the Ark Experience or the Creation Museum in Kentucky, Deals, you were just there, right? You just got back from there. These are the guys that did all of that too. Ken Ham is the guy that runs the organization and spends a lot of time in Genesis. What better way to learn where we came from and where we're going than going to the book of Genesis? So that's where we're going to be spending a lot of time, and how Genesis points us to where God is taking really all of creation. So how many of you think the Bible is a science book? Raise your hand if you think the Bible is a science book. How many of you think it's a rule book? How many of you think that the Bible is a rule book? Okay. How many of you think the Bible is like an owner's manual? It's like the owner's manual. Okay. All right. Well, you're all wrong. Okay. Just so you know. The Bible is a lot of those different things. That's what's so amazing about the Bible. It combines so much of everything, but the Bible is actually written as a story. Now, this particular story happens to be true. And that's why we use it to help us understand our lives. And really, the Bible is very similar to lots of stories that were told in ancient history. But this particular story points to the Creator, and it actually leads to, as far as where we're going, it's a story. Like, if you start in Genesis, and we'll read just a little bit out of chapter 11, the next chapter, chapter 12, where you're introduced to a family. His name's Abram and Sarai. And then you start following this family around. The story is actually moving towards Jesus. It's a unified story that points to who Jesus is and why he came, and ultimately ends. That word consummation is like the end of all things. How does this story end? What's the end of the story? Well, the Bible has that. It's called the Book of Revelation. And the Bible is really written. If you're opening Genesis, it really isn't a science textbook in the sense that you're going to learn physics and chemistry in Genesis. The Bible's written much deeper than that. It's trying to help you to know where you began. And if you actually do, if you're in our homeschooling class at Rathman Academy, you learn that a lot of scientists, a lot of the great scientists that discovered many things were actually Christians, because they believed that God made the world knowable, that we could discover it, and they began with curiosity, discovering things. And so we're going to start in Genesis, and what we're going to do this morning is talk about confusion and where that comes from. And it starts with a tower. Now, does anybody actually know what this tower is? This is a real tower. You could go visit it if you wanted to. Does anybody know that tower? Well, this isn't the Tower of Babel, but you're skipping ahead, Annette. She was one of those kids that always knew the right answer, probably. This is the Amazon Tall Tower Observatory in Brazil. You could go there. They've built it to observe the jungle. And so it's just taller than the Eiffel Tower. It's a little taller than the Eiffel Tower. I think it takes close to an hour to climb to the top of it. But it's a tower where you can see everything. You can see the entire jungle. They do lots of different experiments from up there, just about the atmosphere and stuff like that. You could actually visit it today if you wanted to. But it's huge. And what we're going to talk about is another tower found in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Does anybody know where the book of Genesis is in the Bible? Where is it? It's in the beginning, in the Old Testament. It's the very, as soon as you open the page, you get past this Bible was given as a gift to Ted for something, and then the table of contents, and then you're in Genesis. And so Genesis chapter 1 through 11 is giving us a story about ancient history, but it's before a lot of things began. And Genesis 1 through 11 is not unique in world history. There are lots of other cultures that have creation stories to try and explain where we came from. And so Genesis, again, is telling another story. It just so happens this one is true. Because as you go through life, you read it and you discover more, you've got to decide what best explains reality, my experience, the world, who I am, where I'm going, where I came from. Why is the world so messed up? Like, you've got a lot of big questions you've got to answer to make sense of life. And the book of Genesis is trying to do that. And specifically 1 through 11 is giving us a story about how the world began and how there are so many different nations and people groups. Does anybody speak a different language other than English? Roxy's here from Ecuador and her daughter, Em. You guys speak Spanish? Charlie, what do you speak? Russian and Spanish? Pennsylvania Dutch. That's a lost language that we have. My grandfather spoke Pennsylvania Dutch. But this story is about all the languages being confused. If you know the term babble, like a baby babbles, blah, 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 you don't know what they're saying. It's their own little language. This is where it all started. This is where it all began. And now everywhere you go, you can find people that speak different languages. When I'm in the country of Liberia, there's different tribal languages. I'll go like 20 minutes down the road and there's another language being spoken. And 20, 30 minutes that way and there's another language being spoken. Now in Pennsylvania, in the United States of America, we all pretty much speak English depending on where you are in the country. You might not understand what they're saying. Like when I moved to Florida and I was in the Navy, I was like, what is that dude trying to say? One of the guys that was on the aircraft carrier with me was from Florida. He thought I was from a different country because of the way I spoke. But we all speak the same language. But in Genesis chapter 11, we have the confusion of languages. So we're going to read Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And I'm going to read it once, and then we're going to reread it again, just so you can get the story. Then we're going to do something so we can understand this tower that they were building and what God did and why he did it. So it says in Genesis 1 through 11, it's up here on the screen, or if you have your Bible, you can open to it. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech, so we could all understand each other. Imagine that. You could go anywhere in the world and understand what everybody's saying. I've gone to a lot of different places, and I need to take a translator with me. When I go to a different country and I'm doing this, I'm standing in front of a group of people and preaching, I'll speak a sentence and then my translator will speak a sentence and then I'll speak a sentence and they'll speak a sentence. And so like a normal message that I do here would take like an hour and a half in some other country because you got to plan for translation. So I know in other countries, not here, unfortunately for you guys, I keep it really brief because of the translator, and I don't want to get him tired out. But we don't all speak the same language. But at one time, Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 says, the whole world at one point spoke the same language. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar. That's a geographical location. And they settled there. They were going to create this city. There were a community of people living there. Verse 3, it says, they came to each other and they said, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to come together, stay in one location, and build this tower to show how great they were as humans. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. God enters into the scene here. And it says in verse 6, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And that could become a problem because of sin. Now, you're going to get this at VBS because we go from creation to corruption and catastrophe. Why did things get so messed up? the word we use is sin. You're going to learn about that at Vacation Bible School. And here's what could happen. They create a name for themselves and put themselves in the place of God. And God says nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over the entire earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. Now, you'd have to go back to Genesis. Does anybody remember? Maybe you moms and dads remember. Back in Genesis, what did God tell Adam and Eve to do? After he created them, said it was good, what was the thing he said for them to do? What was the mandate that he gave them? Does anybody know? Subdue the earth, be fruitful, and multiply. So they were supposed to go into all of God's creation, be fruitful and multiply, have lots of families, and take care of it, subdue it, garden it, kind of like back in the Garden of Eden. And so here what we find them doing is not going all over the earth. They're collecting together in one city, and they start constructing and building a temple. And it's there that God confused their language. So, you know, if we use the term, if it's white or black, you know, it's good or bad. We have clear distinctions between two things. Well, every night at VBS, you're going to get a color. And for confusion, it's gray. It's that gray area. We're not really sure. Because things got confused in chapter 11. They were disobeying God. They didn't do what God said you were supposed to do, because it was through what they said, what God said, going through all the earth, being fruitful, multiplying and subduing it, that God's blessing would go to all the earth. But instead they collected in one area and they started building a tower. So this is the term that's used in the Old Testament is ziggurat. This is kind of what it would look like. This is a ziggurat. I'm not sure if it's exactly what they're building there or not, but we're gonna have to build a tower. We're gonna build a tower here, and it's not a ziggurat, but that might be what a ziggurat would look like. And in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1-9, this is what they started doing. This is what they started building. So we're gonna build a tower up here. And I'm going to need some volunteers to help build this tower. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read a verse. And every time I read a verse, I'm going to have somebody come up here. And I'm going to start it. And then they're going to build on top of it. Okay? And we're going to see if we can build this tower and make a name for ourselves, as they try to do in Genesis chapter 11. So I'm going to need somebody to come up. Who wants to volunteer? I'm going to read verse 1. Okay, if you volunteered, wait till later and we'll get some new volunteers. Leah and Sophia, you guys didn't get a chance. Why don't you come up? Okay, here's verse 1. After I read verse 1, Sophia, you're going to continue the tower. You're going to put that there and that there. And after I read verse 2, Leah, you're going to put that on top like that, okay? So here we go. Let's see how far we can make it. Maybe we can build the whole thing. I don't know. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Put your next one on there. And as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. Okay, now we got, okay, it's getting better. You guys can have a seat. Can I get two other volunteers? Back here, Lexi. And who didn't volunteer yet? Addie, is that you over there? Come on up here, Addie. Now I'm on verse 3. We're trying to build this tower. Okay, Lexi, you're going to go next. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Okay, we need the next one. Go ahead. There you go, just like that. And Addie, you're going to be next. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that they may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth. Thanks, Lexi. Okay, Addie. There you go. Go ahead, put the other two on top. Two other volunteers. I need two other volunteers. Huh? Boys, another you guys. We're building stuff, guys. Come on. Bennett, you want to do it? Come on up here, Bennett. Jaden? No? Okay. Nolan? No? Isaac? All right. We need the girls. The girls are the brave ones. Elena, come on up here. All right, here's our next verse. Bennett, you ready? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. There you go. Next one. Good job. That's good. Elena, stay up here. Stay right there, Elena. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Okay, put the next chorus up there. Oh boy. Next one. Bennett, you want to do the next one? We still got another verse to go. Okay, hold on. Let me read. Don't go. Let me read. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Go ahead. Just those two. So the Lord scattered them from over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Okay, Elena. They stopped building the city. Whoa. Last verse. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. You did it. Good job. Good work. So they built their tower. They built this tower to make a name for themselves. But you guys did a great job. But the Bible says that the Lord scattered them. He confused their language. So that's what happened to the tower. And it's scattered. Now, I was thinking about using Jenga blocks, but I decided that would get way too high and it would take way too long. So we used, thanks, Yvonne, I don't know if Yvonne's here or not. She was at the wedding too. So we used something that Yvonne and Mark gave us. So they scattered the language. Every night at VBS, there's another animal that goes with our theme, because we're in a jungle. When you leave here and you walk into the fellowship hall, you're going to be walking into a jungle, complete with waterfalls and palm trees and all kinds of stuff. And for this day, confusion, we have a gorilla that's called, the gorilla's name is Scatter, because God scattered them throughout all of the earth and confused their language. And so one of the questions we need to figure out is, well, why would God do something like that? What was God doing in confusing their language? Why did God scatter them all over the earth? What was the point of doing that? Because there's lots of lessons to be learned throughout Vacation Bible School, but really, this is our job as moms and dads and as Grace Church. We do this all the time. Lots of you. You're going to be with kids that aren't your kids, and they don't even kids that come to Grace Church, that you're going to be teaching and equipping and training and helping them develop this understanding of why this story is so important. So you have a chance to invest in the next generation when you volunteer for VBS. And I'm not sure what we're at right now. Caroline, what's our registration? So for pre-registration, we have 66 little angels coming to Grace Church to run around this building all week long. And guarantee you, not all 66 of those kids even know who Jesus is. A lot of those kids, they're not being brought up in the church. A lot of those kids don't know these stories. Do you know how essential it is that when you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that you know where you came from and where you're going and why you're here and what life's all about? It's different when you're just figuring that out at 25, 35, 45. You've already lived a lot of life. And that's why I'm asking you to be praying ahead of time for Vacation Bible School, because that's where it all starts. I'm praying for open hearts, that as you remember, we preached a message about seed falling on good soil. That imagine if that soil's good at 5 and they start bearing fruit and following Jesus. Now, I know a lot of you probably grew up going to Vacation Bible School or being a part of things like Child Evangelism Fellowship and Good News Clubs or some kind of children's ministry at your church. That's why we focus on children's ministry. We make it a priority. If you're someone that's interested in investing in the next generation that way, please talk to Jess. We do something called Simply Loved every Sunday. And we need some more teachers. We need some more help for that. So if you're willing to do that, please talk to Jess. Because it is essential that we build into our children the importance of knowing who Jesus is. That's why when we are doing things like coffee and worship, and praise God, many of you, I know I was, I know the people that were a part of coffee and worship were, the point of us being out there is to try and be Jesus to our community, to be and share the good news. And I was with Jody yesterday because she was at the wedding and was talking to her. We helped set things up, my family, on Friday. Before we left, I had to go do rehearsal for the wedding. So we're driving to Drums, PA, and it starts raining and we're getting videos and like people are hanging on to the tents like this in the video. The kids are screaming because there's monsoons and rain coming down. They're trying to save all the sound equipment. And it ended up being just an acoustic set. The group that was there said, we came to worship. That's what we're going to do. And Jody said, it was the night only God could plan. And God had a plan for that night. And you can go talk to one of the guys that God planned to be there that night. His name's Charlie. He's sitting right there. And I think God planned that night for you. Because that's what this is about. And it starts when they're 5, 4, 3, and on up. So VBS is a lot of fun. We try and make it as much fun as possible. And we want the kids to have a good time. But I don't want us to lose sight of why we're actually doing it. And I did preach a different message this morning about asking the questions, are moms and dads necessary for Father's Day? Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there, all you grandpas, all you uncles. You don't know how important you are. I tried to emphasize that in first service, so that message is online. I encourage you to watch it if you want to know why you are essential to your child's upbringing. And you know the number one job that God gives us in Scripture is to train our children in the way they ought to go, is to guard their hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I think it says, guard your heart because everything flows from there. Now, what do you do if you're 10 and you don't know how to guard your heart? Who did God give that 10-year-old to guard their heart? You, mom and dad. The Bible does not tell us, make sure your child has the best education possible, go to the greatest schools. We see what all of our Ivy League schools are churning out right now. They're too busy protesting to even learn. It's not about getting the best job. I think Jess showed me a meme on Facebook, I don't remember how long ago it was, about hey, guess what? Your kid's probably not going to be a pro baseball player. But there's a lot more that your child's going to be doing in the world. What was the meme? I can't remember.
There's a 0.02% chance your child will play professional sports. There's a 100% chance they will meet Jesus.
Okay, so there's a 0.02% chance your child's going to play professional sports. If your child does, awesome. If they're part of Grace Church, I expect tickets whenever you make the big leagues. There's a 0.2% chance that they're going to play professional sports. There is a 100% chance they're going to meet Jesus one day. The Bible is giving us the priority that we ought to have as mothers and fathers, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles. And that is to help your child, grandchild, niece, nephew know who Jesus is and understand what it means to follow him. Because there are, and while Babel is talking about confusion, life can be very confusing. And you and I know as adults, and the kids will learn this, that's why we are equipping them to learn how to navigate the gray areas. Because there are a lot of them in life. We want it to be black and white all the time, but it just doesn't work that way. So how do you navigate the gray areas? Well, you got to know where you're going. You got to know where you came from. And it starts when they're small. If you're not training them to navigate those gray areas, they're not going to be able to do it. And if you don't think your child is being discipled, you're absolutely wrong. They are being discipled. The question is it by you? Or is it by this? It's not hard to start algorithms going in a particular direction. All you got to do is look at one or two things, and all of a sudden you're getting algorithms. And they're trying to disciple you into something. Apparently somebody looked up this shirt online and that algorithm just started getting shared everywhere. And this morning I woke up and I was thinking, all right, my family got me a new shirt for Father's Day. That's so sweet of them. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to look good in this shirt and be unique and a great dad. Tristan walks in this morning. I'm like, hey, man, nice shirt. And then Nick walks in and I'm like, this isn't good. And now if you see all these shirts out there, it's not these guys trying to be like me. I don't think anyway. If it is, you guys got issues. Or you're going to have to walk on your knees everywhere you go so we can be about the same height. But your child is being discipled by somebody. Is it music? Is it media? Is it their school? Is it their friends? Or is it you? And as Grace Church, we want it to be us. It's not just you. It's all of us, and that's what VBS is all about. But mom and dad, you are essential to them understanding all of this important information, the truth about the scripture, and ultimately beginning a relationship with Jesus so that they know how to navigate life. So two important things. Like all the way back at the beginning in Genesis chapter 11, why did God scatter them all over the earth? Two things we see going on here. And you got to know Genesis 1 and 2 to understand the rebellion piece. God said, be fruitful, multiply, go throughout all the earth and subdue it. That's what I want you to do. And through you doing that, I am going to bless every family on earth. But in Genesis 11, we see them gathering together and building this tower to make a name for themselves. So they're rebelling against God, and they're trying to put themselves in the place of God. I know we don't do that anymore. Human beings trying to put themselves in the place of God. Pride is as old as actually back in Genesis chapter 3. Putting ourselves in the place of God. And so we could go really deep into the theology behind all of this. And the Bible has the capacity for me to do that with you as adults. But it also has the ability to explain profound, important, foundational things to kids. That's what VBS is for. That's why we do Simply Loved. Because we want to try and take the truths of Scripture and put it on their level. And all we're trying to say, all you should be doing, mom and dad, in the training, equipping, and discipling, is helping your child see that when we obey God's ways, it is not simply a rule book. Are there things that we should do in this book? Yeah. Because it actually gives life. Because you know, as an adult, I could tell you my own stories about me thinking I know better than God and choosing my own way. Or me thinking I know better than my parents. That word rebellion isn't just used for us against God. Kids, one of the most important things you can understand about the Bible is to obey your mother and father. You know why that's important? It goes all the way back to Genesis. Because it's what God told Adam and Eve to do. It's what God told the first human beings to do. To obey God, and it will go better for you. So we know as adults, when we don't, things can go sideways really fast. And kids, you ought to know too, when you don't obey mom and dad, things could go sideways really fast. God is giving you something there to help you understand the importance of obedience. Because as you grow up, it's going to be even more important. And God says when you obey Him, things go better for you. And the reality is, if I would have obeyed my mom and dad, who tried to show me the ways of Jesus, did they do it perfectly? No, none of us do. But I had a really great and clear picture of what that looked like. Had I listened to them, things would have gone better for me. But because we have a good God, He redeemed a lot of my past and showed me the way to go. That training that I got, it never left me. It was always there, and eventually I found myself back to it. The Bible teaches us, adults, obedience to God is better for you. Kids, you learn that when you're a child. Obedience to your mom and dad is better for you. God's teaching you something about the rest of your life. The other thing is putting yourself in the place of God. Pride, it can put you in a very, very bad spot. Pride goes before the fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. That's from Proverbs. All of Proverbs, it's a book of literature, of wisdom. It has nothing to do with about your education and getting a good education. It talks a lot about instruction and teaching, but it's trying to teach you about life and putting God first above yourself. They tried to make a name for themselves and build this tower. Human beings are always trying to do that. Look at what we can do. Look at how powerful and how amazing we are. And then we're reminded how small we are when a storm hits. There's a flood. There's a hurricane. There's a tornado. Whatever. Nature. We can't even fight against that. And our towers keep crumbling down. And maybe you've been building a tower for yourself. Your job. Your success. Your name. It'll crumble. It'll fall. What are we teaching our children? Our foundation is God, and we thank Him for everything we have. We put Him first in our life. It's not something great that I've done. It's something that God has done, and He's used me to do it. It's putting other people first. Life is not just about you. I got a chance to remind Luke and Sarah that, and everybody else that was listening, about marriage. When we think about love, love is putting someone before yourself. You cannot love somebody if you are selfish, because love is all about other people, other focused, selflessness. Pride gets in the way of that, and our kids need to know at a very young age, life, the world, does not revolve around you. And in fact, it leads, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know that. You think life is all about you. And for a time in your life, it is, because they're not going to survive without you, mom or dad. But part of that training is helping them understand life is not all about them. There's learning that needs to be done. And dads teach in a particular way, and moms teach in a particular way. And that's why you're both important in the house, training your children. I used this example in first service. Like I said, it was way more focused on moms and dads and training, but it's a great example of just the importance of training and learning and the different ways we do that and why it's essential that moms are doing it mom's way and dads are doing it dad's way. Not that blended families can't do it, and not that sometimes you got to step up and be dad or you got to step up and be mom. But the way the world works, go back to Genesis, God created it this way, that a child would have a mother and a father, because they're going to get trained like moms and dads train people. So we are at Homeschooling for Him. There's a homeschool co-op that meets here at Grace Church. And we did a meet and greet. There's some new families that want to get involved in homeschooling. So we were down in the park at one of the pavilions. And Tristan and Sarah's youngest, Lydia, she had a stroller. And she was going all over that park with that stroller. And so at the pavilion, there are pavements here. And then the pavilion is like a step up. So you actually kind of had to tip the stroller to push it up. So this is just what I'm explaining, the difference between the ways moms and dads train. So Lydia goes to the side of the pavilion and she's stuck. And there's like three moms over there like, oh, let's help you and get the stroller up. Apparently sometime during the night, Tristan taught her how to push the stroller down. Now, I don't know how old she is. How old's Lydia? Where are you guys at? She's 1.5. Tristan teaches her to put the stroller up so she can get it on. And Tristan standing says, no, stop. I taught her how to get that stroller up there. Let her try and get the stroller up there. It just comes natural. It's just the way we do it. And she needs both. She needs moms to nurture at times, and she needs dads to say, here, you figure it out. You can do this. You're 1.5, but you can do it. It all starts now. That's why we promote VBS. That's why Tyler's new gift is, his new spiritual gift is putting in signs. All over Schuylkill County, there were signs everywhere. Whether it's VBS, whether it's coffee and worship, this is essential. You will not find the Bible talking to you about getting your kid in the best college there is, finding the best job they have. You will discover the importance of these simple truths. It is good to obey your mom and dad. Why? Because it's good for us, and it goes better for us if we obey God. It is good to put God first in everything, to give Him credit where credit is due, and to think of others before yourself. These are foundational truths that we can go super deep in theology about, or we can share it with the kids in a fun way so it sticks with them. That's what we're trying to do with VBS. We're trying to start early. You need to start early. And we, as a church, get to do that together. So I want to just, it's Father's Day, say thank you to dads out there. And I just want to reissue the challenge I do at every Father's Day. The most important thing you can give to your kids, to your family, is leading them to know Jesus. If you're not doing a great job with that, that's what this whole next year is going to be about. The fall and into 2025, it's going to be all about discipleship and family discipleship. We want to train and equip. Maybe you're like, I don't know where to start. I was never discipled as a kid. We want to train and equip you to do that, because it starts now. So thank you, dads, for doing that. Thank you, dads who've been a part of Grace Church, for doing that. You grandpas that are continuing to invest. You uncles, if you don't have children, everybody needs a dad, if it's biological or not. That child needs fathering. And maybe you're just the guy to do it. So please be in prayer for a vacation Bible school this coming week. If you have not signed up your child, if you have a neighbor that is you think would really benefit their child, you can sign them up still. There's actually registration at the door as well. But please, please be praying for the week ahead. So let's do that now together. God, we just come before you and we are so grateful and thankful for these truths that you've given us in Scripture. And God, I am especially thankful for the fathers out there that continue to try and bear witness to who Jesus is in their lives. I am so grateful for the many people that volunteer for VBS, all the work that the Trimper family has put into it. And I know Ed and Linda Zappay have been helping, and Carol Ann's been getting some friends to come and help. Lord, we couldn't do it without them. And so we're thankful for the work that's gone into it, the work that will happen this coming week. God, we pray for safety. And God, we most especially pray for open hearts to know and hear the gospel so that they can understand what it means to follow Jesus. That when we do that, Lord, life isn't perfect, but it does go better for us. We get to live life the way you have intended us to live it, Lord, and experience to the fullest. God, and I pray that for every child that's coming, and maybe they don't have the best home life when they come here, but God, I pray that through the love of Jesus that I know Grace Church family is going to be loving on these kids, I pray that they get a little taste of what that looks like. God, I pray that we might be able to bring life where there is none, hope where there is despair, joy where there's sorrow. And God, may you just continue to use us to shine Jesus' light into this world, to speak the truth of Jesus into even little kids' lives, Lord. We pray it in his name. Amen.